are.
Then.
Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Israeli forces are reported to be fighting Hamas militants inside Gaza's largest hospital. BBC reporter Rushdie Abu Alouf is in Gaza.
I made another contact with the eyewitness inside the hospital. He said he saw six tanks within inside the hospital and about 100 Israeli commandos, soldiers. They stormed the main emergency department of the hospital.
Israel accuses Hamas of using hospitals as cover for its fighters. Tens of thousands of people packed the National Mall Tuesday in a massive show of support for Israel in its fight against Hamas. Israeli President Isaac Herzog spoke to the crowd live.
I'm speaking to you from the single most sacred site in the Jewish world, the Kotel, the Western Wall in Jerusalem. The Kotel that reminds us that Am Israel, we, the people of Israel, are eternal and no one will break us.
A teenager has died after being attacked by more than a dozen people while defending his friend. It happened 2 weeks ago. CBS's Matt Piper has the story.
Eight teenagers, all 13 to 17 years old, now face charges in connection with the deadly beating of 17-year-old Jonathan Lewis. His matter of death near a Las Vegas high school this month was listed as homicide. I spoke to his dad, Jonathan Sr., hours before the arrests, who said kids need more compassion and love for one another and that the prison system won't be a good answer to quell violence.
These kids being thrown in prison is just not enough justice. It's time for people to love one another and care for one another and the society. Otherwise, the kids are just going to keep being messed up.
The U.S. House on Tuesday passed a stopgap spending bill that keeps the government funded through early next year. CBS's Scott McFarlane is on Capitol Hill.
Republicans have been saying pretty consistently to me, we live to fight another day. That day comes in January, and the prospect of a protracted government shutdown is real, and it is growing.
Record online holiday shopping this year will likely mean a record number of package thefts. Nick Wolny is a senior editor at CNET.
Unfortunately, porch theft will be up because it's always up when e-commerce is up, and similarly to this sudden spike in e-commerce that began a few years ago, we also saw this spike in porch theft.
A former fundraiser for New York Republican Congressman George Santos has pleaded guilty to a federal wire fraud charge. Sam Mealey admitted Tuesday that he impersonated a high-ranking congressional aide while he tried to solicit donations for the Santos campaign. Wall Street ended the day deep in the green. The Dow closed up almost 1.5%. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy. You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year. At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with a link.
Okay. Smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Lows level off around 40 overnight under partly cloudy skies. Winds out of the southwest 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, high of 60. 38 tomorrow night, mainly clear.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 51.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Okay.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes.
In for the new mom, here's Jane Mattenair.
Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin on this sunny, sunny day, at least here in Waukesha. Calvin is with us on the board, Greg Bach with me in studio, and you at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Thank you, Greg Bach. If you ever want to call and or text or check in, you can also watch us on the live stream on YouTube, Facebook, and on Twitter. You can leave a comment there as well. We will see that as it crosses the line. We have a really, really busy show coming up today. Joining us at 10:33, the one and only Joe Zepecki will be here. We're going to start by kicking around the Supreme Court announcement yesterday that they've come out with a code of ethics. Okay. I find that kind of supremely hilarious. And
I see what you did there.
See? And we will talk with Joe about that. Johnny Watermullen, our very own Johnny Watermullen, is going to join us at 11:33. He is heading up to Deer Camp later this week, and he is going to share some Deer Camp stories. I would like you to start thinking about yours and have you share them as long as we can air them. They have to be, you know, they can't be obscene or include dirty words.
Yeah.
All right.
PG-13 stories.
Yeah, PG-13 stories.
Actually, you know what? I'll say PG because you can do a lot of PG-13 movies nowadays.
Yes, you can. Yeah. PG stories about what happens at Deer Camp. We will take your calls coming up at 11:33. First off, though, I wanted to start with this. Yesterday, we had Mark Sommerhauser here from the Wisconsin Policy Forum, and we were talking about housing needs in Wisconsin and the fact, and it's not just in Wisconsin, but really across the country, on how birth rates are down. We just aren't having as many children as we used to, and this has been happening over several decades. It's not like it's just, you know, in the last 5 years or anything. And there are a number of different reasons for that, but as I was on Twitter last night, I ended up going down this Twitter hole, and it inspired me to do a special More Words from Men segment on why the birth rate is declining in America. For example, this is what I saw on Twitter yesterday from a guy. These are the causes of plummeting birth rates in America, Greg Bach. Birth control. Abortion.
Of course.
Hookup culture.
Yes.
People wasting time in long-term relationships for years on end without making a commitment.
Or as I call them, losers. Yes.
Feminist brainwashing of young women.
Yes, the feminists.
Dudes with low T and decreased sperm counts.
Nothing makes me believe a story more than when someone uses the word dudes.
Dudes. Vaccines.
Of course.
And the significant increase in things like the LGBTQ plus community, climate change, kids are bad for the environment, nonsense, etc. This thread went on and on and on and on. Until a woman finally commented.
What?
And said, it's almost like society needs to start asking women what they need in order to feel comfortable and are willing to increase the number of children they have, on top of that, to potentially stay home with them. But more words from men on the subject. Guy responds to her, no, we need to stop deferring to what women want.
Oh, God, this makes me hurt inside.
You give women control over the direction of society and civilization collapses. We are seeing this in real time. Women have a function. They are not performing that function to the degree, they need to be.
Man, I don't.
So how many children do you have?
Me?
No, to anyone who's listening or watching on the stream, How many kids do you have? Would you have wanted to have more if you could? Or if you only have two, why did you stop at two? I would like to know why you made the decisions about your family size the way you did. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY.
You got five.
I have five siblings.
There's all together. There's six of you all together?
There's six. My mother was pregnant eight times.
Okay. So six all together. Do you know how many children, how many siblings your mother had or father had? Did they come from big families on the other side?
My father came from a big family. I think they had six. My mother came from a small family. They only had two.
Okay. Because so my dad's family, my great-grandfather, he was one of 13 or 15.
Okay.
Then my grandpa was one of 10. My father was one of seven. I am one of two. I just feel like we're living in the day and age where you want to have that many kids, have that many kids. I don't think that's whatever. What I think is irrelevant. But I feel like when you come from that place of I come from seven, eight siblings. I don't want that many. It just seems like that's what more people are doing.
Well, I think there are so many other considerations to keep in mind, especially with the cost of things.
Oh, my good gravy, yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, that is certainly going to be affecting people's decisions on whether or not to increase their family size.
Yeah, I think that it also, it's an increase in cost. It's also, having more children is an increase on your carbon footprint. You're using up more energy and there's more. Once again, you want to have a lot of kids, that's fine, but there are knock-on effects.
Absolutely. 844-967-2789. How many children do you have? Good morning, Laura, joining us from Wisconsin Rapids. Hi, Laura.
Hi. Hello.
How big is your family, Laura?
I am a single mother of four.
Did you plan on four? Did you hope for four?
Absolutely not. So the way that happened was I was married once upon a time and we were evangelical Christians. And so the go forth and prosper, multiply that business.
We
were very good at it while we were together for 7 years. But then I got divorced and ended up pregnant a fourth time. And when it comes down to it, I'm pro-life for my own body.
Yeah.
But I also have matured enough to know that that's just me. I don't need to tell the neighbor lady to do that also.
Yeah.
Right? It's your personal decision. It's your personal choice. It's your body.
Right.
When I started looking at this Twitter feed yesterday, Laura, it was remarkable to me how many men are the experts on why women aren't having enough babies. And it's interesting that you mentioned that you were an evangelical, because one of the comments posted on this thread, there is no excuse to not have unlimited children if you are a follower of Christ. You should not be using birth control. Every time you come together with your wife, which should be frequently unless you drink soy, pray for conception. I'm tired of seeing three-kid Christian families after they've been married for 20 years.
Listen, okay, so we were only married for five, so bam, 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 together for seven, married for five. But also, that's what the culture was. Like, note, I am no longer evangelical Christian. I was when I was married.
Yeah.
And so that's just what the culture is. Shoot, I attended several sermons just about voting pro-life and how it is your duty and responsibility as a Christian and as a member of this church community.
But Laura, what does that do to women in the community or couples in the community who have reproductive issues?
Exactly.
I mean,
many friends that had reproductive issues, and they spent time with me and my family to try and enjoy being around kids because they felt such a gap in their life, a hole in their life, because they didn't have kids, because it felt so much like the thing she was supposed to be doing.
And if you can't do it, that's like,
well, then that's, isn't that, then God is not showing you favor.
I mean, that's just, oh my good girl.
Not only that, but they feel like failures. I have had too many conversations with And this is when I was 25. Like, I was young. These women were young that I was talking to about this, just tortured by it because they felt like they were being denied what they were intended to do.
That breaks my heart. That just breaks my heart. That through no fault of your own, you are, and then you're made to feel like you're a failure because you weren't able to do this. Laura, thank you so much for calling. Really appreciate it. 844-967-2789. How many kids do you have? John from the Falls checking in on the text line. Good morning, everybody. I have two boys I love very much. I wouldn't say I have too many, but I would say I have enough.
We also had a comment on the live stream from Joseph McClear.
Oh, he said, buddy Joe.
I wanted 12 kids so I could challenge my buddy Dan's family to a football game every year, 11 plus a kicker. We are currently at 2. We'll see how that winds up. Let me know what your wife thinks of that whole idea too there, Joe. All right.
Salient point.
Exactly. I prepared something for you for this whole thing. I got something for you.
I'm excited.
Can you play it, Calvin? Oh, I think we missed this.
More words.
Yep, there it is.
From men.
There you go.
844-967-2789. How many kids do you have? Again, this goes back to this Twitter feed that I followed yesterday, and I followed this down the rabbit hole. Man posts on Twitter, my grandmother had her first at 22, her second at 24, her third at 26, for example. Another man replies to that and says, well, her generation was probably the last one that consistently had children early, and they could afford to do so.
I just don't understand these, like... These seem like villains in a movie. Like, it's just like to have the temerity to be like, well, because of soy and the lesbians and Joe Biden. I just like this is almost it, once again, I'd be laughing if it weren't real, if this was a movie, but this is for real. And these men have the absolute audacity to say things that they're saying. I just really, it makes me so, so angry.
We're gonna keep this going. Stay with us. Karina, I see you on the line. Don't go away. 844-967-2789. How many children do you have? Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Haven't been checking out Director's Cut lately? Well, here's some of the guests you may have missed.
Local legend from Four on the Floor, musical magician, one of my favorites, Pete Ravel. Michael Charles, Chicago Blues Hall of Fame, a man who has played with Buddy Guy.
Bria Krieger joining us, a local artist.
To welcome to the WFHR stage, the legends, the lizards themselves.
Best-selling author, Mystery Science Theater 3000 legend, Midwest's own Mary Jo Peel.
Director's Cut, every Sunday night from 8 to 9 on Locally Grown Radio.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matner in for Kristen Bry. Calvin, is on the board. Greg Bach with me in studio, and you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. We're talking about more words from men. Yesterday, we had Mark Sommerhauser on from the Wisconsin Policy Forum talking about housing in Wisconsin in particular and about birth rates. And birth rates just across the country have been in decline for several decades. I fell down this Twitter rabbit hole yesterday with a man explaining why we aren't having enough children. One guy, well, I can tell you the 6 feet, 6 figures, 6 inches mean meme isn't true. My wife stonewalled me at 2 kids. I have employees that have 5. I think women are just weak.
Yeah, that's the problem, bro.
Yep.
That's absolutely the problem. You know, it's
women are
stonewalling you with her bodily autonomy.
Karina from Milwaukee has been waiting on the line. Good morning, Karina.
Good morning. Oh, my. Well, you see, this is what it is. America has a 36th place on newborn death. That means that every child out of 1,000 is dead for no good reason. As a female, I would like to know that my child, after 9 months, is actually have a chance of a survival in the hospital. Besides the point that the times those men are talking about, those men were able to afford a life with one breadwinner and the female staying at home. Why would a female go for a child with a nation who would rather spend money for a proxy war on the other side of the world than for a daycare? Why would I do it and not even being able to afford the insurance for my child?
Thank you, Karina. Really appreciate the call. Absolutely. There are so many factors involved in why people elect to only have one or two. Or 3, you know, and
it's their business.
It is their business, and it is their decision. One guy on this Twitter thread said, "You sound awfully judgmental about the private lives of others. Their marriage is between them and God. You don't know what goes on in their household. Could be fertility issues, trauma, etc. Just mind your own business." And the author of the post, oh, right, the old fertility excuse. A couple would go at it every single day in prayer and deeds so they can conceive. Health problems are a lack of diligence with no care about legacy. God is the one who shows favor with children. Less children means less favor from God.
I think that's somewhere in either Ephesians or Exodus where it says, yeah, go forth and get it on.
I think you're changing that slightly.
Well, he said, get it on. I feel like he was quoting the Bible. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, it's, oh, the old fertility dodge.
Yeah, right. Gary from Sussex is on the line. Good morning, Gary. How many kids do you have?
3 kids, and I'm very, very fortunate. My wife and I got married, and we tried to have kids, like, right away. We couldn't have kids. We went through adoption. And a gal showed up at our church and said that she's looking for someone to adopt her baby because she didn't want to have an abortion. So we get to adopt Jeremy, which is now 44 years old.
Oh, wow.
And nice. then we ended up adopting our daughter, Jennifer, and she has 4 kids. And then my wife, out of total surprise, gets pregnant. And we have Josh, and then he has 5 kids, so we have a total of 10 grandkids.
Look at you.
Wow.
We're very lucky, but I'll tell you something. Once I heard before when you were talking to some of these gals that couldn't conceive, we went through that. So you heard the versions of how the women feel, and I agree 100%. It's way harder on a woman. But as a dad wanting to have kids myself, I watched my wife cry every time she had her period, and we were hoping that, you know, she'd finally get pregnant.
Sure,
yeah. It hurt. It hurt.
Oh, I believe
the man.
It. And
but, you know, not as much as the women. I understand that.
Of course.
But it hurts the men.
Absolutely. And I just don't. I I guess, Gary, I was just shocked by the judgment coming down from some of these guys on this Twitter thread about, well, you're a bad person and God doesn't love you if you don't have more than, you know, a dozen children. You're just a bad Christian. And
yeah,
I think that kind of judgment, being judgmental, seems to go against most of the versions of Christianity I am familiar with.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for calling, Gary.
Thank you for doing what you did, too.
Absolutely.
A lot of people won't even, like, we talked about this, I think we talked about this last week, where I said, and I believe this, if you are of certain means, of certain ability and access, it's your duty to entertain adoption as a way of having children, because there's so many children who need homes.
I heard a statistic yesterday. I want to say, in Waukesha County alone, there are 1,300 kids in the foster care program.
I mean,
so anyway, we're going to wrap up this More Words from Men segment with this comment from a woman on this Twitter thread.
Is this a comment she put in amongst all of these?
Yes. All right. Using your own arguments, therefore, men who can't afford to raise an unlimited number of children onto single income are failing in their duties. Or is there no responsibility to feed, clothe, and educate them on how to make an honest living, or is it just about the numbers? It's just as many as you can have, no matter what kind of situation they live in. What about impotence? Where does the Bible mention that? Oh, wait, it's probably her fault.
And then they were like, burn her, she's a witch.
I didn't see that. I'll go back to the thread and check today.
Please follow up,
Jane. I probably will. I wouldn't be surprised if that would be the comment. All right, coming up at 10:33, we're going to be joined by the one and only Joe Zepecki is going to be here. The Supreme Court came out with a code of ethics yesterday, and we're going to take a little look at what that involves. And you know what, Greg?
It doesn't involve us. That's a spoiler.
No, it does not. And it also, as far as I could read within this document, it doesn't include any kind of enforcement arm. So they're laying out all of these rules that they're going to follow, but there is no oversight on them to make sure that they're going to follow the rules they made to govern themselves.
I'm sorry, listeners. I just want to apologize for Jane for a second. She's never heard of the honor system. So, I mean, it's the your honor system, really, when it comes down to
it. Nice.
Thank you.
Oh, Greg Bach. Well done. And then coming up at 11:33, start thinking about it now, if you would. Johnny Watermelon, one of our colleagues here at Civic Media, is heading up to Deer Camp later this week, and he is going to share some fun Deer Camp stories with us coming up at 11:33. If you have one that is arable and relatively clean, we would love to hear from you coming up at 11:33. You can always call and or text at 844-967-2789. All right, stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Passenger side of his best friend's ride, trying to holler at me. I don't want no scrub. A scrub is a guy that can't get no love from me. Hanging out the passenger side of his best friend's ride, trying to holler at me. I don't want no scrub. A scrub is a guy that can't get no love from me. Hanging out the passenger side of his best friend's ride, trying to holler at me. I don't want no scrub. A scrub is a guy that can't get no love from me. Hanging out the passenger side of his best friend's ride, trying to holler at me. I don't want no scrub. A scrub is a guy that can't get no love from me. Hanging out the passenger side.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and one.
The thrilling victory.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three, sidesteps left for three in the lead. He hit it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner three. Got it again.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music, and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Daisy was abandoned by her family and placed in foster care at 15 years old. Her life was full of uncertainty. She thought she'd never have a permanent place to call home.
Before I was adopted, I felt like I wasn't enough. I had this hole in my heart, and I never knew what I needed to patch that hole. But when my mom asked to adopt me, that hole was closed. It feels so normal now to say that I'm a part of this family. I am surrounded by love. I feel safe. And that hole inside of me is gone. I am whole. I'm finally enough just as I am.
The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is changing the lives of teenagers at risk of aging out of foster care. Like Daisy, every child deserves a permanent, loving home. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Lows level off around 40 overnight under partly cloudy skies. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, high of 60. 38 tomorrow night, mainly clear.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 51.
Sick and tired of being promised this and that. We work all day, we sweat and we slave to keep the world.
Good morning. Back. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Mattner in for Kristen Bright. Calvin's on the board. Greg Bach with me in studio and joining us on the stream. Good morning, our friend Joe Zopecki. How you doing, sir?
Hey, sports fans. Good to see your beautiful faces.
Good to see you,
well, buddy. Jay's beautiful face.
It's been a
Greg's
while.
Greg's is kind of hard to find.
You know what?
Behind that beard.
There you go.
How many kids do you have, Joe?
Two.
You have two. That's how we started off the show. We were talking about the decreased birth rate in America, which has been going on for several decades. And then I stumbled on this thread yesterday on Twitter where men have all the answers on as to why women aren't having enough children. And one guy basically said that American women are weak.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm not going to touch that, but I did see some speculation that we have found the cure to this problem.
And the cure is?
If Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce make a baby, that will provide the jolt to the birth rate that America needs.
You think all the Swifties then will decide it's time for them to marry and have children?
Those aren't my words. That was someone on the internet who is very excited about the relationship of our time. Those star-crossed lovers, those crazy kids.
Those crazy kids.
It's amazing how many she's dated over the past almost 20 years in music. She has dated a lot of different celebrity guys, but this is the one that's really sticking.
It's been two months.
That's the wrong choice words. Not sticking. This is the one we care about the most, apparently. Like, no one cared about Jake Gyllenhaal. No one cared about John Mayer. No one cared about, like, they didn't care until after they broke up and she wrote songs about them. But man, we want this to work as a country.
And I think there's two reasons for that. And I know this is exactly why you wanted me on, was to offer my takes on popular culture and Taylor Swift.
Always.
But this, you know, this isn't that much of a surprise if you think back to her early stuff where she's writing songs about, you know, she's cheer captain and I'm in the bleachers.
Yeah.
And there's always sort of been that that sort of want, that feeling like she wasn't quite the cool kid, even though she's like the coolest kid literally in the world right now.
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, my better half may have shared with me, apparently at a show this week, Taylor is playing with the lyrics to that song.
Yes.
And saying like he's a Chiefs player. And so like, and then his face lights up and it's just, you know, you know what? There is so much to feel down and depressed and anxious and worry about. The fact that any of us can hold on to these young lovers and, you know, hoping that these crazy kids make it and rooting for them.
Yeah.
God love it.
If you want some shots of pure joy, get on Swift Talk or Instagram Reels where Swift is happening, because it's just like, it's joy. It's fun. It's just, that's what's good stuff.
Is your daughter all into Taylor? Is she a Swiftie?
Both my daughter and wife went to the Swift show in Chicago.
Nice.
I would say that my wife is more of a fan than daughter, but
pretty close.
But who's counting?
Right, pretty close.
I'm sure your wife would be if you challenged it.
Yeah. Well, she was. I suggested we go see the movie on Sunday. It was the last day it was playing.
Yeah.
And she was the one who was like, I don't know, I'm pretty tired, because she went to see Kesha with our daughter the night before.
Well, I mean, she also saw,
because they're the cool ones in this house.
She also saw it live. Like, if I were to go see like my favorite, like, hey, let's go see a reunited Pink Floyd in concert. Like, yeah, heck yeah. I'd be like, you want to go see in the theater now? Like, no, I saw it already.
Yeah, been there, done that. I guess I could have gone by myself. And so, but to bring it all back, yes, the declining birth rate is both a national security issue and an economic security issue. I was doing some research about one of the things we're going to talk about, which is Donald Trump recruiting for a potential second term. One of the things that they are vetting for are people who want to decrease not only illegal immigration to this country, but legal immigration to this country. Hey, people, you want to save Social Security and Medicare? We need more Americans, whether that's through the legal immigration process, whether that's through upping that birth rate. This is a real thing.
It is a real thing.
Take it away.
Before we get to, we're gonna talk about Project 2025 in a little bit. I wanted to start off though with the supremely hilarious code of ethics that our Supreme Court released yesterday.
So why do you say supremely hilarious?
Because there is no enforcement arm. There is no oversight body to make sure they behave themselves. It's just, we wrote a bunch of rules to govern ourselves, and this is what we've always followed. We'd written, I don't know, you've been bugging us, and now we felt like we had to write them down, and so we did. But, you know, just trust us, because we're fine. We're good. We're all good.
So I guess my question, my reaction would be, is something better than nothing?
But it's a nothing burger if nothing can be enforced.
But here's what we've shown. We have shown that great reporting and transparency into what these justices are doing can change behaviors. And the outcry over it can change behaviors. Hold on.
Okay.
In that, for 248 years is how long the Supreme Court has existed, there has not even been this. And now for the first time, even with their weird, annoying, obnoxious, gaslighting, you know, introductory page, we've always lived by this.
Yes.
Like that I'm here to dunk on, okay? But the fact that they have done this and put it to paper is progress. It doesn't mean that all of the problems are solved, but it is a step forward in terms of the court's operations, and it is now another thing with which to demand and hold people accountable. It's still going to take great reporting from outlets like ProPublica and others. It's still going to take probably the threat of the U.S. Senate and folks like Dick Durbin saying, you got to get your own house in order or we're going to do it for you. But I worry that when we jump to say it's not good enough, it's not great enough, it's not perfect, since when has making perfect the enemy of the good been the right approach? This is something. Something is better than nothing. And, you know, it doesn't mean the fight is over, but it's progress.
Okay.
I'll give you that.
Now they're here to dunk on me.
No, you say it doesn't solve all the problems. This doesn't solve any of the problems because nothing's been solved yet.
It's a public relations stunt.
Exactly. And to me.
And a negotiation.
When someone is held accountable, then I'll be like, all right, here we go. But for right now, it's a press release. That's all it is to me. Are they going to use these? Are they going to use these things that they are putting forward in their reform to hold justice accountable in what's happening right now? Great, then cool. I'm on board. I'm here for it. I want it to happen. But to me, it just seems like a PR stunt because all nine of them got together and said, "We're fine.
We're good. We've always been good. It's all good." Taking $275,000 from a donor, it's good. And all I think this is going to do, Joe, is make them, some of them, even craftier about getting away with it. I think now they're going to have to be like, oh gosh, now they're actually kind of watching us. So we have to really do this on the down low if you're going to buy me off.
Man, you guys have been beaten down. Let me tell you. I write myself a note. It's right here. I look at it every day. You can't see it. But what it says is every day choose joy, hope, and optimism. At some point, we have to say, like, at least we're moving in the right direction as opposed to falling further and further behind. Like, if your expectation was that what accountability in the next chapter in this story was going to look like was that Sam Alito and Clarence Thomas we're going to be shamed off of the Supreme Court and just go, oh my gosh, you caught me with my hand in the cookie jar and we will resign and there will be two vacancies and the U.S. Senate will put in place some ironclad, you know, thou shalt not series of policies. And that was going to be the next chapter of this. I think you may have been expecting too much.
A girl's got a dream, Joe.
And this girl had absolutely no intention of thinking that would happen at all. Like I said, I want something to happen with them, whether it's even just like put a note in their permanent record. I don't know. But like I wasn't expecting them to step down from the bench, but I do expect there to be some sort of equality in its oversight that the Senate and the House are maybe held to. I don't see why there can't be oversight from other branches. And I'm not cynical about it either. I'm skeptical. I also like to choose joy and happiness and all those things. But when nine people say we're doing okay in the face of what looks like grand corruption, and all they do is say, all right, here's the first step. Okay, here's the first step. Show me the next step then. That's what I want to see in this country.
Amen to that, brother. So let's take the example, right? So all bodies, organizations have mechanisms of self-policing, right? That they're supposed to keep their own house in order.
Sure.
For example, Congress has ethics committees that are supposed to investigate their own members and police their own body. And when someone very special, like Congressman George Santos, comes along, the ethics committee launches a probe and they do an investigation and they have an ability to police their own membership as a body. And George Santos is still in Congress.
Yes, he is.
So there are also are outside actors that play an accountability role, the Justice Department. He's under indictment. That has, you know, that will play itself out in due time. So there needs to be both internal and external accountability when it comes to the Supreme Court, as there needs to be internal and external accountability in all organizations. I'm just choosing today to say that the fact that there is now at least a document, at least some process in place for internal accountability may actually make it easier for there to be that external accountability for members of Congress or the Judiciary Committee to say things like, this is what you wrote down and put your name to, and now you are not living up to it What am I supposed to go home and tell my constituents so we can actually foster down the road some additional accountability? And it's a long road to get there, but at least we're now like on a path.
Yeah. Is what I would say. And I think I'm in agreement with you because you're seeing the next steps. You are creating the next steps. I want to see them in real life. And then I'll get there to that point. Yeah. But for right now, yeah.
I suppose it was a little much to hope for that Clarence Thomas would drive his motorhome in front of the Supreme Court and just leave the keys and, and then $275,000 in cash and, giving it back.
Wow,
to Harlan Crow.
You are really good at being,
I have dreams.
Yeah, I know. What I'm saying is what you're doing right now is exactly what Joe told you to do. He told you to have hope.
See, Joe, okay, you won me over. Today, I choose optimism. Yes.
We did it.
In this moment. It probably won't last all day. It'll probably just be...
It won't last till the end of the segment. What are you talking about, Jane?
Yeah, well, she knows what the next segment is, too.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Oh, and did you hear the latest from the Whoop 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 Boing conference? What happened in the House today? Oh...
The shoving match?
The shoving match and the little chasing back and forth between Kevin McCarthy and who am I?
Some guy we've Burchett. Never heard of.
Yeah, some other House Republican.
It's the greasers and the socias all over again.
Greg's going to be able to help me here, I think. Yeah. There's some movie that is like there's echoes in my brain of like.
The Outsiders.
You know what tough guys do? Right? Tough guys, and then it's insert, you push people in the back when they're not.
When they're not expecting it.
What is that?
Yeah.
You're a tough guy. You want to be a tough guy? You know what tough guys do? Not what Kevin McCarthy did.
He's a big dude. If he hit you, I'd fall over. Oh, he's a tall.
The reporter said that he shoved this other congressman right into her, and then he turned around and started chasing after McCarthy. So.
Oh, I hope that's on video.
Boing.
I hope that's on video.
Do the listeners
somewhere.
And viewers not know how big Greg is? Greg, you are a bigger man than Kevin McCarthy is.
He's taller than me.
Stand your ground.
I think he's taller than me. I have a better center of gravity because I'm just chunkier, but he is like distributed well.
Joseph Pecky will be with us when we get back. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together, bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo, we learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff? To go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Shut up, shut up, shut up. Sit up, sit up, sit up. It's a kangaroo.
As Goes Wisconsin, Jane Matnair in for Kristen Bry, Calvin on the board, Greg Bach with me in studio, joining us on the stream, the one and only Joe is a Pecky. Joe, let's talk about Project 2025. It's really pretty terrifying, isn't it?
It's pretty bonkers.
Yeah.
Have you discussed this at all with the...
We have not.
Because this has been in the works for a little bit here. So Project 2025 is a plan by... not just former President Trump, but the Trump MAGA wing of the Republican Party, which is to say a lot of it, almost all of it, including longstanding organizations like the Heritage Foundation and others who are cooking up the next step of a plan that in the waning months of the first Trump administration, he tried to enact. And that was the largest change to the hiring practices of the federal government in, God, generations. I mean, you know, 70 years since this big a thing had happened. And this gets a little in the weeds. So I want to try to figure out how best to like explain to people what this is. And, well, and I'll use my own experience as an entry point for this. So
perfect.
I was a political appointee in Barack Obama's first term. So what that means is when Barack Obama was elected or when Joe Biden was or Donald Trump, they get to hire out staff, not just in the West Wing of the White House, but across the federal government. And there have historically been about 4,000 jobs. There are 2 million federal employees, right? So you get to bring about 4,000 folks with you from the campaign, from, you know, the private sector who share your values, et cetera.
Sure.
And so like the agency that I worked at, which was the Small Business Administration, which has employees on the ground in every single state across the country and territory, at that agency of several thousand people, there were like 15 to 20 of us tops, maybe
that were that were Obama appointees.
That were Obama appointees. And so, you know, our job was to run the agencies and try to implement the president's agenda. And sometimes that ran into career civil servants and federal officials who would say, actually, you can't do that. And here's why. Right. Like it's the federal government. Everything goes through a legal review. You know, you are a federal employee. You are not allowed to politic on government time. That would be taking money from taxpayers. Right. So like
they set up the guardrails. Right, Joe.
Exactly. And listen, it can be frustrating. I totally get that. But it's a really important part of protecting, you know, the civil service and the bureaucracy and the government of the United States. So what Trump in, I think, October, like just before he lost the election, he tried to create a new class of public servant, Schedule F, that what that would have done was made it easier for political appointees and the president to fire civil servants. It would essentially have removed their protections that they have through their unions and through established protocols and procedures over time. So, for example, if I, as an employee at SBA, said we want to do a loan program that gives out loans to businesses that display an Obama sticker in their window on the door, like a Better Business Bureau thing, but instead it's the Obama hope signal.
Sure.
And in it, and if an attorney said, no, you can't do that, and here's why, that I could just go, or someone could just go, well, I don't like that answer. I think you're wrong, attorney, so you're fired. And I'm going to replace you with someone who shares my belief in, you know, and my politics. And that's messed up.
Well, it's essentially making sure that you can do whatever it is you want to do, whether it's legal or not.
Correct. And so 4,000 is what it has been in terms of political appointees. The estimates are that this Schedule F would apply to 50,000, so more than 10 times as many officials throughout the government. That is problematic for a number of reasons. Among them, and I was looking at, this has been great reporting by Jonathan Swan from Axios, is that, you know, these folks are saying that they're being, this is Swan's reporting, prescriptive about what gets a person on the list.
Yep.
They want applicants who want to cut not just illegal, but also legal immigration into the United States. They favor people who are protectionist on trade and anti-interventionist on foreign policy. They must be eager to fight the culture war. Credentials are almost irrelevant.
So you don't have to be qualified to be an appointee. You just have to agree with their ideology and you're good.
Apparently. And so what they're doing is coming up with lists of people who meet these particulars, you know, thousands and thousands of names who are ready to go day one. And they are being quite candid that they don't expect that they'll have 50,000 names ready to go should President Trump be reelected, you know, get elected a second time next November. What they're saying is that the mere threat of being able to fire these officials and replace them will kowtow them into doing what they want. So in the hypothetical I dreamed up, as opposed to saying, you can't tell me I can't do that, I'm going to fire you, because that staff counsel goes, oh my God, if I don't give him the answer he wants, I'm going to lose my job and my livelihood, that will pressure them to say yes more readily.
This is really dangerous and very, very frightening. I can't think of anything worse than the president of the United States being surrounded by nothing but yes people. You need you need someone to can talk truth to you. If it's just wrap your heads around this, folks. This is really bad.
He no longer has those people. And so this is also from this reporting from Jonathan Swan. Trump has reduced his circle of advisors and expunged nearly every former aide who refused to embrace his view that the 2020 election was stolen. He spends significant amounts of his time talking to luminaries of the Stop the Steal movement. Daughter Ivanka, son-in-law Jared are no longer involved. One former senior advisor notes that January 6th was the crucible and that the treatment Trump meted out, especially to his own vice president, changed the landscape. Even if you're a true believer, you see what happens to people.
Joe, we're
this is messed up.
Yeah, this is messed up. And we're going to have you back so we can do a longer segment about this and really explain just how dangerous this is to our democracy. But anyway, thanks for carving out some time. Joe Zepecki, really appreciate it. Say hi to your lovely wife from me and stay with us. Coming up at 11:06, there is a new scam the Better Business Bureau wants you to know about. And we're going to talk about things I've fallen for scams.
I probably fell in for more.
So we'll take your calls as well. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Show weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 a.m. and 101.1 FM WAUK. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Not all people are the same, and yet when we visit the doctor, our treatments don't look that different. Why is that? Because we just don't have enough information to do it better. By gathering health data from 1 million people, our country's best researchers will be able to develop treatments that are as unique and complex as we are. With this new information, doctors will have a better understanding of disease so they can innovate the next great breakthroughs in medicine. Learn more at joinallofus.org.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
All right, son. Time to put out this campfire.
Dad, we learned about this in school.
Oh, did you now? Okay. What's first?
Smokey Bear said to.
First, drown it with a bucket of water, then stir it with a shovel.
Wow, you sound just like...
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it was New York and Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to LA. If my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Are you asking the court to do something that spells out a school funding formula?
This is not about the school finance formula itself. It's about the voucher programs. It says to create a system of public schools. It doesn't say anything about creating two parallel systems and sucking the money out of the public school system.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5.